Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
He continues to implement an ironclad blockade and ensures that our forces are maximally postured to restart combat operations should this new Iranian regime choose poorly and not agree to a deal. And that is what we urge this morning, that this new Iranian regime choose wisely.
Don't be the bad guy in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade who chooses poorly. Choose your cup wisely. That's the cup of a carpenter. No, it's, Pete Hegseth wasn't channeling Indiana Jones yesterday, although apparently he was channeling Pulp Fiction at one point. Maybe we'll deal with that later, maybe not. Anyway, did you hear about this, John?
No, I didn't.
I haven't watched the clip, so maybe I shouldn't talk about it.
What happened?
Well, the claim is that he was speaking at a prayer breakfast at the Pentagon, and instead of, you know, quoting from Ezekiel, he did the embellished Samuel L. Jackson's version of it.
No.
As if it were the real thing? Like, didn't know that was... I mean, I don't know. Like I said, that's the claim. I haven't seen the clip.
Oh, we've got to go see it.
I'll find it at some point.
Now it's bothering me.
Yeah, I know. But in the actual press conference yesterday morning, Pete Hegseth and Dan Cain and Admiral Cooper were also there from CENTCOM talking about the blockade.
To the KH leadership and IRGC leadership, we're watching you. Our capabilities are not the same, our military and yours. Remember, this is not a fair fight. And we know what military assets you are moving and where you are moving them to.
Because we're in a ceasefire now, right? Like, we're blockading the access to Iran via the Strait of Hormuz, not blockading the Strait. They clarified that's a thing I think a lot of people misunderstood. You can't go to Iran through the Strait, but you can go through the Strait. We know what we're doing. It's not a fair fight. By the way, that's a key, doctrine of every country's military, is to engage in not fair fighting. In the United States, we're just better at it than everybody else is. But that's, it's not meant to be a fair fight. We're not trying to make it so that we lose as many as you lose. We're trying to make it so that you lose whatever we want you to lose and we don't lose any. I mean, that's the goal. Anyway, we're watching in a ceasefire, getting ready to, Monday or Tuesday, I think, is when the 2 weeks will be up. And they're trying to arrange some kind of a deal between now and then. But meanwhile,
while you are digging out, which is exactly what you're doing, digging out of bombed out and devastated facilities, we are only getting stronger. You are digging out your remaining launchers and missiles with no ability to replace them. You have no defense industry, no ability to replenish your offensive or defensive capabilities. You only have what you have. You know that. And we know that.
You cannot replenish. You're stuck with what you've got, because not only have we blown things up so they're under rubble and you have to dig them out, but everything else that you would make replacement, ammunition or barrels or triggers or whatever else goes into the machinery, rockets, fins, fuel, we've blown all that up. So you're stuck with what you've got. And at this point, your best military response is, well, we can't make anymore. I guess we'll dig the ones out of the ground that we can find.
You can move things around, but you can't actually rebuild. You can dig out for now, but you can't reconstitute. But we can. We are reloading with more power than ever before, and better intelligence, even more importantly, better intelligence than ever before, as you expose yourself with your movement to our watchful eye.
So we're watching. We see you. We're capable.
We are locked and loaded on your critical dual-use infrastructure, on your remaining power generation, and on your energy industry. We'd rather not have to do it, but we're ready to go at the command of our president and at the push of a button.
And remember, that dual use is key to the justification for anything that they might target. So if the United States targets, for example, energy production, the premise of that is because it's being used for war and or regime support activities, military activities, and not only being used for civilian. It can have a dual use as long as it's proportional, the impact that you have on, proportionally useful for preventing or solving or resolving the war, as opposed to the impact they're going to have on the civilians. If you harm a million civilians and you manage to prevent the movements of one unit of military, that's not proportional. But if you harm the movements or capabilities of 100 units of military and you make the life of, say, 10 people really bad, well, that's proportional. Yet, you literally, it does become a kind of a math problem. And he's saying, you know, we haven't destroyed all this yet. We are capable of doing it. Keep that in mind with, what, like 8 days to go in the ceasefire, 7 days to go in the ceasefire.
You like to say publicly, Iran, that you control the Strait of Hormuz, but you don't have a navy or real domain awareness. You can't control anything.
It's just kind of accurate, right? But they posture like they are. They show these pictures of ships and we'll target you if you go through there. Well, that's not control. Not really. I mean, it's at best you might say it's veto power, but it's not a very powerful veto power because...
To be clear, threatening to shoot missiles and drones at ships, commercial ships that are lawfully transiting international waters, that is not control. That's piracy. That's terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair way to put it.
The United States Navy controls the traffic going in and out of the strait because we have real assets and real capabilities. And we're doing this blockade, performing it with less than 10% of America's naval power. The math is clear. We're using 10% of the world's most powerful navy, and you have 0% of your navy. That's real control. And we have a long track record of dealing with pirates and terrorists.
We have a whole lot more navy we can give you. We're only giving you a little bit of it right now, and you don't have any left. There are other ways you might analogize that particular way of talking about it, but... Just talking about navies. That's all he's doing.
But there is an alternative. As our negotiators have said, you, Iran, can choose a prosperous future, a golden bridge. And we hope that you do for the people of Iran.
Yeah. And again, you know, you can read this as Pete Hegseth, you know, being all macho and whatever. Or you can read this as message to the Iranian regime, whoever they are these days, that, you know, you see how bad this is, and you see how it's not so bad at the moment because we're not actively bombing you right now, but recognize that we are resupplying, we're restocking, we're watching everything you're doing, we know what you're doing, we're capable of really making it horrible for you, even worse than it has been. Think about that as we're running up towards the end of this ceasefire next week and maybe come to the table and take that golden bridge towards prosperity.
In the meantime, and for as long as it takes, we will maintain this blockade, successful blockade. But if Iran chooses poorly, then they will have a blockade and bombs dropping on infrastructure, power, and energy. And at the same time, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and our friends over at Treasury are launching Operation Economic Fury as well, maximizing economic pressure across the entirety of the government to Iran. Choose wisely.
So not just military, not just Navy, you know, Air Force, Navy, all that, not just that, but also economically. So it's going to get a whole lot worse. Now, General Kane, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was also there speaking. And, you know, top of the hour, Fox News, they, you know, played some of his stuff. I thought, actually, as is often the case, Pete Hegseth is more the warrior philosopher. I don't know. He's the talk show host, you know? So he's the guy that gets up there and says the strong words. And then, you know, the general and the admiral are like, okay, so here's the facts, right?
On Monday, 13 April, at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, at the direction of the president, America's joint force began implementing a blockade against Iran under the leadership of Admiral Cooper and the team at CENTCOM.
And the nature of that blockade, again, I think a lot of people have misunderstood this, so he clarified.
Let me be clear. This blockade applies to all ships, regardless of nationality, heading into or from Iranian ports. The U.S. action is a blockade of Iran's ports and coastline, not a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz.
That's important just for understanding the facts. That's also important for understanding what they are and are not doing, where they are and are not interdicting. And then also for the legal justification of this, you cannot legally, because then we'd be engaged in piracy, you know, if that's all it was, or terrorism or something like that. But if we're engaged in warfare, it's okay, perfectly allowable to blockade somebody's port so as to starve their military infrastructure from being able to resupply, right?
Enforcement will occur inside Iran's territorial seas and in international waters.
So both before it gets to that, 9 miles, I think, is the international standard, and when it gets inside of that as well.
In addition to this blockade, the joint force, through operations and activities in other areas of responsibility, like the Pacific area of responsibility under the command of Admiral Paparo, will actively pursue any Iranian-flagged vessel or any vessel attempting to provide material support to Iran. This includes dark fleet vessels carrying Iranian oil. As most of you know, dark fleet vessels are those illicit or illegal ships evading international regulations, sanctions, or insurance requirements. More than 10,000 sailors, Marines, and airmen, over a dozen ships and dozens of aircraft are executing this mission.
And I thought that was an interesting note that, you know, even if you manage to break free or if you are currently out and operating somewhere else in the world, we'll take those two. You know, if you're out in the Pacific, for example, right, going towards China would be the most likely way that that would work. So we're going to stop you anywhere in the world. We have, in fact, stopped 13 ships. He actually had a really interesting... He went through describing how the warning works and what the Arleigh Burke-class destroyers can do. And, you know, top of the air, Fox News kind of mentioned, I'm not going to play it right now, but, you know, the idea that this is very active, it's ongoing, it's been a lot of ships.
And as this message is being transmitted, as I mentioned earlier, those shipmasters...
I'll go ahead and play it. It's interesting to hear. You know, you kind of wonder, how does this actually work on the high seas? So when a destroyer like the Arleigh Burke-class, that's the, if you ever watch the show The Last Ship, and it's the one whenever you see, you know, missiles being fired out of the top of the back of a, well, not always the back, but you know, sometimes it's the front. Anyway, of a cruiser, a destroyer, sorry, this is what you see most all of the time. It's an Arleigh Burke. We've got, God, almost 100 of them, I think, in the fleet.
At each point, the United States Navy will transmit a warning. A young sailor, normally on the bridge of one of those destroyers, a junior officer, picks up that mic and transmits, and I quote, "Do not attempt to breach the blockade. Vessels will be boarded for interdiction and seizure transiting to or from Iranian ports. Turn around or prepare to be boarded. If you do not comply with this blockade, we will use force."
So that's the message. That's what they tell them as they're approaching. I was close. It's 74 in service, 25 more planned. So it'll be 99 when it gets done, but not quite there just yet. But yeah, this is the thing we have the most of right now.
And as this message is being transmitted, as I mentioned earlier, those shipmasters can literally see, sense, and feel the pressure around them. It's a finely tuned machine, rehearsed multiple times, and executed now 13 times since the blockade has begun.
Yeah, so good description. He also went into particulars about the Arleigh Burke-class and the sailors on board, of course, reemphasizing the point that the sailors are the key weapon. They are the primary strength. And then at the end in questions and answers, and I didn't pay as close of attention to this as I should have, but you know how they are letting in only the reporters they like, and they're kind of being, I don't know, very... They're viewpoint discriminating, both in, I think, my and also the legal opinion that's been issued on this. But it was, you know, like One American News and that kind of, it was all far right kind of news sources instead of sort of everybody. But so they were all asking very, you know, nice and friendly questions and no big challenges. But one of the things that did come up was the issue of the allies, right, and their participation. You remember President Trump, when he gave his comments a week ago, he was pretty strong about how, you know, he was, I mean, really, about how, you know, NATO has failed us, NATO hasn't done its job, nobody's helping except for our allies right there in the Middle East, who, of course, are directly involved in all of this, you know, Jordan and Saudi Arabia, these are, you know, Israel, obviously, Bahrain, you know, these are folks who are certainly working with us, but our European allies have really dropped the ball, and it really matters the most to them. Well, Pete Hegseth yesterday reemphasized that same message.
There's a lot of talk, and what we've seen in this conflict from allies, and those, is a lot of talk. Except for the ones that were mentioned by Admiral Cooper in the region, who have been phenomenal. Other allies have talked a lot and haven't done anything. And as the president has pointed out, this is a waterway that the American commerce doesn't use all that much. We don't rely on the energy coming out of the Strait of Hormuz. But Asia does, and Europe does, and large parts of the rest of the world do. And so their ability to muster a collective defense or a clearing of the straits would be a wonderful thing. And we hear and see the talk about it. But when the shots were fired and those countries were needed the most, they weren't there. They weren't in the strait. They weren't alongside us. Their leaders weren't rallying what they have of their navies.
So who was there? Well, we were, obviously.
If they decide after CENTCOM does the heavy lifting, which, again, they should be able to do. We should live in a world where other countries can defend waterways, not just the United States Navy.
Right.
Should that conclude, which we believe it will, then we would welcome other countries coming in after the fact. But you can't live in a world in perpetuity, and this is a message to the rest of the world and our allies, where you just rely on America to continually do the heavy lifting. Oh, Iran might get a nuclear bomb. Who's going to do something about it? America. And America only. Other allies need to invest in their capabilities so they can project power and do basic tasks like clearing a strait. So we're not counting on it, but it would be wonderful to see it if it ever materialized.
Yeah, it's certainly a goal. It's a goal worth aiming at, worth trying to achieve. It's similar to what we've done with NATO. You know, hey, all it took was a Russian invasion of Ukraine to get NATO to start paying attention to how they ought to increase their defense spending to meet their obligations under the treaty, let alone prudence. And, you know, maybe this in the Middle East will also teach some people, hey, you know, depending on the U.S. to do all this stuff for you is really not a plan. And it's not really ethical since you benefit the most from it and we're the ones footing the bill. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
There you have it.
Just a reminder, fans, about Die Hard Night coming up here at the stadium. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant.
Don't you mean the Guardians, Bob? Nope, that's not what it was when they made that movie. 528 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Such a great movie,
it is,
man.
A great movie. Just a bit outside. Yep. He is. Oh, man. And I love that they had Euchre in that movie. You know?
Yes,
that was,
for
that
sure.
That was fantastic. All right, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an excellent selection of good quality used cars. And I know kind of how you tend to think about a used car place, and trust me, I think the same way about most of them. That's why I always try to tell you, Frontier's not like that. And here's one of the things. Instead of thinking them as the adversary, which I know is normal, okay? If you've ever bought cars before, that's how you think. But instead of thinking them as an adversary, think of them as an ally. Think of them as the place where you can go and actually say, well, you know, here's my situation, here's what I use the car for, here's what kind of I'm thinking about price-wise, budget-wise, what advice do you have for me? What guidance can you give me? Almost like a car buying guidance counselor, you know, because they see thousands of cars. You know, they have 300 on the lot. They sell about half every month. So every year, do the math, that's like almost 2,000 cars that they sell. They see a lot of cars. They know what people like, what they don't like, what they complain about, why they trade in prematurely, all that kind of stuff. And they can help you figure it out. And then if they have what you want, I mean, you can buy it. And if they don't have quite what you want, you can send them looking for it. It's just, it's a great place to start. Find out why I and so many other people rave about Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. I did not cut the audio yet from the meeting yesterday morning, the Bay Center meeting, but I will tell you, in listening to that meeting, very productive. They are almost on the verge of, like, they've kind of decided they're going to renovate the Bay Center, which is in the 70-ish million dollar range. They're going to build the hybrid facility out back, which is going to be the weekday convention center, weekend indoor sports, cheerleading, pickleball, volleyball, basketball, all of that kind of stuff. And then the ice rink is they're going to put that on Greg Harris with the Ice Flyers to try to figure out if that's a feasible investment and, you know, let him kind of shepherd that. The hotel is sort of a wait and see at this point. But remember, the hotel, though useful for the small weekday kind of conventions and also for the, you know, weekend sports, is not vital for them. The hotel is more vital for the big, full-blown convention center. And so they don't really feel the need to do that just yet. I mean, literally, I think we basically got a plan, which is amazing, out of a city council, county commission meeting.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says Iran has agreed that they will never have a nuclear weapon.
Iran does not have a nuclear weapon, and they've agreed to that. Iran's agreed to that, and they've agreed to it very powerfully.
That was at the White House, later telling Fox's Peter Ducey he can make a little deal floating a trip to Pakistan to seal a peace deal, meaning a ceasefire extension may not be needed. House Republicans passed a short-term clean extension of FISA Section 702 until April 30th. It's one of the nation's most powerful, controversial counterterrorism tools. Lawmakers could not agree on a five-year extension. Pope Leo riding the Pope Mobile for the largest event of his African tour. The Vatican expecting 600,000 followers on the streets of the port city of Douala in Cameroon, which is a Catholic stronghold in that nation, where the Pope will celebrate Mass. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 63 degrees right now, clear skies here across the area. We'll get to a forecast for you in just a few minutes. Well, it looks like Escambia County has a little bit more bonding capacity for the Bay Center project than the original $75 million figure that was floating around yesterday. Commissioners appeared ready to use that to go forward with the project.
Every day we wait, the cost goes up. So the $71 million for the Bay Center, the $84 million for the Event Center, and the $30 million for the ice rink are cost projections based upon today's dollars. So the longer we wait, the more expensive it's going to get. And I think it was Commissioner Barry who said that you have capacity now through the revenue that you would bond out, you know, to do the project.
And that is Doug Thornton from Legends Venue Planning Services, one of the consultants that addressed both the Escambia Commissioners and Pensacola City Council at yesterday's meeting. District 5 Commissioner Stephen Barry did say that the county's TDT bonding capacity was closer to $150 million, not the $100 million that had been previously discussed publicly. And that's enough to cover both the Bay Center renovations at $71 million and that new Flex Event Center projected at around $84 million. Although that would largely tap out the county's available bonding capacity. Well, FDOE is proposing a rule that would bar undocumented immigrants from enrolling in any of the state's 28 community and state colleges. Students would be required to provide documentation proving they're U.S. citizens or lawfully present in the country before being committed. The proposed rule would not apply to Florida's 12 state universities. A hearing on that proposal scheduled for May 14th at Miami-Dade College. The rule also would give colleges discretion to deny admission based on a student's past misconduct. Well, we're just days away from new restrictions on SNAP benefits. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this story. He says it's about nutrition.
Changes are coming to Florida's main food assistance program. On April 20th, SNAP recipients will no longer be able to buy that candy, soda, or energy drinks. State leaders say the move is meant to improve nutrition. And Senator Don Gates argues it's necessary after federal law began penalizing states with high error rates in determining benefits. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, Orange Beach is now looking to sell its 18,000-square-foot event center to the wharf across the street for more than $5.5 million. Orange Beach officials say the city's been losing money on the facility. The deal would also include a $2 million loan from the wharf to help build a smaller city-owned event center. The Orange Beach City Council plans to review the proposed deal at a meeting later this month. Tourism officials say the wharf taking over the space may attract larger events during the spring and fall seasons. It's 534 here at News Radio 92.3. And again, right now we've got 62 degrees and mostly clear skies here across the area. Let's get a look at our forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up today near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Saturday, partly sunny skies, high near 82. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For Sunday morning, 50% chance of some showers with some heavy pockets possible. Saturday afternoon, highs near 75 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 52. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Our next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Kim Murray with your money now. Walmart said it plans to remodel 32 stores in Pennsylvania this year, including two in the western Pennsylvania region. The retailer announced the remodels are part of ongoing efforts to modernize the in-store and digital shopping experience. The remodels include upgrades to layouts, technology, and services. New applications for U.S. unemployment benefits fell more than expected last week, suggesting labor market conditions remain stable despite the Iran war. The Labor Department reports that initial claims for state unemployment benefits dropped 11,000 to a seasonally adjusted 207,000 for the week ending April 11th. Google has announced personalized image generation that allows users to connect their photos to Nano Banana. The company said users can ask Gemini to, for example, quote, create a claymation image of me and my family enjoying our favorite activity, and it will generate that specific image automatically. Futures are slightly higher after President Trump says the Iran war should, quote, be ending pretty soon. That's your money now.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 92.3. Joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So any incidents this last week? There hasn't been a lot of PPD stuff in the, news. That doesn't mean y'all aren't very active all the time. But I guess there was some kind of a burglary this morning. Is that right?
Yeah, everything was nice and Q-word until just a little while ago.
Q-word. That's so adorable.
So officers responded to a burglary in progress at the 4,000 block of McCoy Drive. I believe that's APAC Mid-South business over there, for a vehicle burglary. And upon arrival, the suspect fled into an industrial area or a wooded area along some train tracks. Canine and drone were both utilized to help locate that individual. He was eventually located, and then when the officers approached him, he decided he wanted to fight them, several of them. So he was quickly shown or introduced to the taser. He was taken down without further incident. So besides that, it's been a very uneventful week since I last spoke with you.
Any officers or canine get hurt in the process?
Everybody's okay.
Okay, good. Well, outstanding. Excellent. So we'll take that as, a relatively Q-word week. Kind of like that.
That's right.
All right. You and I had a conversation last week about the so-called First Amendment auditor, the interaction between the Scambia County Sheriff's deputy and this, I'll just call him the dillhole with a camera and a TikTok feed. Some of our conversation got interrupted by phone issues, but there was more to this that you and I, we wanted to talk about, particularly because you go around the country and you literally train cops on this stuff, and not just cops, but the same principles apply to ordinary citizens. So talk to me about what you tell people and what's going on here.
Yeah, and if you look online or on these social media platforms, you're going to see more interactions, negative interactions, with regular people than you are police officers, because there's simply a lot more of them, and the officers are now becoming more and more aware or trained on how to handle these situations where the general public is not. So all this boils down to is money. With First Amendment auditors, they've become a significant source of income for content creators. Some of them get paid as much as $150,000 per month. Now, that's unusual, but some of them do. Most of them around $1,000, $2,000 area for the ones that get a lot of clicks by posting their videos online using various platforms where they request and receive donations from subscribers to help fund their work. Some of them also sell merchandise. So the more inflamed the interaction, the more views they get, and the more money that they make. And to make matters even worse, some of these auditors at times compete with each other for views and money, which further incentivizes them to engage in highly confrontational behavior to provoke an even greater negative response from officials, employees, and everyday people.
Okay.
All these interactions are video recorded, and the worst of them have been viewed just tens of thousands of times. And that's how they make money. They're doing this to make money, not necessarily to make sure everybody knows about the First Amendment, but they're doing it to make money.
So you're saying that the First Amendment auditors are not exactly engaging in the Seligman lecture series and educating the population. They're just trying to, create tension, cause problems, inflame, and then catch it on camera so that they can market that and be paid for it.
A lot of them. Now, there are some of them, and I personally know one, that's honestly out there to make sure people are aware of where people can film and where they can't. This individual has never been involved in a confrontation, not in it to make the money, but maybe he does. I don't know, but he doesn't seem that way. But some of them are actually out there, and once they let you know what their rights are and they're not challenged, then they just go about their business. But so, what can you do if you treat them like these aggressive ones, like a beehive? Just turn around and go the other way. Don't engage with them. But employees and officials should just be welcoming. If you have no choice and you have to engage with them, be welcoming, be friendly and helpful. This behavior will prevent escalation. It'll also likely shorten the encounter. So auditors make money from negative reactions by public officials, but not by positive ones. Those are the ones, if you're very nice and there's not a confrontation, those are the ones that simply do not get uploaded to the internet because it's not going to make them any money.
Now, in Florida, we are a two-party consent state, but that's for like on the phone recordings and things, right? They don't have to get your permission just to be video recording you.
Right. That's on the phone. That's like if a bug was placed into a room or something like that, that's highly illegal unless there's a warrant or something like that that law enforcement would use. So, these folks know exactly what their rights are. They know where they can and cannot stand. And as you saw in the video with the sheriff's office, he was just trying to provoke her, trying to go and stand someplace, where he wasn't supposed to be, even though that was a right of way. So they do know what they're doing as far as the law goes. So, and they want to make sure that you do too. And when you challenge them, that's when things start to go bad.
Mike, we've all seen videos of this sort, I think. We've also seen videos in various protests, and we've certainly seen videos that involve the police. But you're telling me that a lot of times they're perfectly happy to take the ordinary citizen and provoke them to, lash out, get angry, whatever, because that's their way of making money. So I'm a citizen, aside from just ignoring and walking away, any other strategies, tactics, tips? Because certainly, that's a very unsatisfying answer. I'm not saying it's a bad answer. I'm just saying, you want to be able to do something. Is there anything that you can do as a citizen?
Yeah, so just answer the questions calmly. If the counter becomes lengthy, just tell them that you need to get back to work or whatever it was before you were doing prior to that encounter, and turn around and go about your business. There's nothing that requires you to stay there. But what triggers people, especially older folks that aren't used to this, teachers, people that work inside medical office buildings, they see these people filming children. They see them filming patients, and they take offense to that, and we understand that. We understand why, because people simply don't want to be filmed. But a lot of times, especially near schools, they're just pointing those cameras at the playground just to get you going, just to get you to come confront them. They're not even recording those kids, but they want the confrontation.
And so
the best thing to do is, and you can always call us. You can call the police. That way you're not engaging with them. Let us come over there, and if they're in a place where they can be, we will let you know that. And if you'll just ignore them, they'll turn around, they'll go away. The footage will never get uploaded, most likely. But if they're in a place they're not supposed to be, we will handle that.
It is interesting how often people misunderstand what the law, as you and I know, what the law is, what their rights are, what other people's rights are. I mean, my wife and I, we go biking all the time, and, we try to find good places to park where we're not going to cause anybody to be disturbed or where it's okay. But I still, we'll park on some neighborhood street. And I had an encounter where this guy, what you doing parking there? I'm like, on this street by the retention pond that's not even by anybody's house? Well, sir, I'm just parking. and you're not going to park on my street. I'm like, well, I mean, you can call the sheriff if you want, but I'm pretty sure the laws in Baldwin County allow this. It's amazing how poorly informed people are about the law. And once they get their own idea of how you're breaking it somehow or doing something that they don't like, they escalate emotionally as a reaction to their ignorance, right?
Yes, and that's exactly what makes these people money, is them escalating and getting emotional and causing clicks, and clicks cause money to come in.
So
if you put them, if everybody got together and ignored them or was not rude to them, did not confront them, you would simply put them out of business.
So I saw a clip on TV I was watching. It was somebody covering the Iran war, and it was a reporter who was being harassed by a crowd. And the one most notable idiot in the crowd was this woman who had chosen a whistle as her weapon of choice, and she was right up next to this reporter while this reporter is doing her report, whistling with the whistle in her ear. And I know for me, I thought, there is a point at which I can push you back at least if you're doing, because that's harm. You're hurting my ears. But you tell me, you're the cop. What can you do in that circumstance?
Yeah, if you're getting in somebody's personal space, if they're close enough to where they can reach you with their arm, they could strike you. That's putting you in reasonable fear. And that's all it takes. I mean, you do whatever you have to do to protect yourself. And most of the time, again, these folks know better than to do something like that, to get in your personal space. But if that was to happen, then, of course, you can do what you need to do to protect yourself.
It's an interesting contrast, as we've been talking all day about the First Amendment and the use of it. The purpose of it was to build a better society, to worship God, to create relationships with people, to advance the human cause. But there are also people, because of freedom is a freedom, and it protects you in the ability to do it well and also to do it poorly. And there are people who are using it poorly, and they are these so-called First Amendment auditors. might think of themselves as sort of these chivalrous heroes protecting the First Amendment, I see them the way you see them, which is agitators who are causing problems, fracturing society, and predating, you know, being predators upon ordinary people for the purpose of money as opposed to really advancing the cause, at least most of them. We always like to end with a question, a did you know, a cop myth, something like that. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, and there's several. I'll have to put them in here very quickly. They're myths about traffic stops. A lot of times you'll see these videos uploaded as well. As an officer will pull somebody over, and they will say that they do not have to show their driver's license. That is a myth. That's not true. When an officer pulls you over, you do have to show that license. Excuse me. So you're required by Florida State Statute 322.15 to produce your driver's license. You must also show your vehicle registration and proof of insurance. And the officer will eventually, if not right off the bat, but eventually he or she will also tell you why you're being stopped. You hear a lot of that. Why are you stopping me? That's going to be explained to you. And it's very common for another officer to arrive as backup. That's a policy that we have. It's a safety thing that we do, and most officers or departments do that. Even if you just roll through a stop sign, you may have two officers show up. And it's not that we think that you're a big, bad criminal or anything, but it's just officer safety because we simply don't know what we're getting into. So it's also true that the driver and the passengers must exit that vehicle if told to do so by officers. And if you don't, you can be arrested for obstruction. You do have the right to request the presence of a supervisor, though a lot of times the supervisor is already on the scene. You hear a lot of that being supervisors being requested. And the officer can force you to terminate a phone conversation if it interferes with their investigation, as you must comply with the safety-related orders. So
even if you're talking to the president?
Yeah, that came to mind. Yeah, even if you're talking with the president, if it's a safety issue, you know, if the officer's on the side of the interstate trying to get you to understand what's going on, trying to get you to talk to him or her, and you're on the phone, that's a problem. That's putting the officer in a bad spot. So you do have to terminate that phone conversation. You do get to keep your phone. You do get to record the encounter if you want to, but you do need to terminate that phone call if it becomes a safety issue for the officer.
And then what about the, like, license and registration in the sandwich baggie out the window, but nothing else that you see sometimes these professed legal experts telling you that that's all you have to do?
Well, we have to, and well, they did produce it, and the law says they have to produce it. So everything has to be done on a case-by-case basis after that.
Okay.
You know, we have some of those. Fortunately, not a lot of that going on, but it does happen, and we handle that on a case-by-case basis.
And when
it all depends on why they were originally stopped.
Fair enough. And when it comes to searching the vehicle, you can refuse a search, but they have to be able to produce an articulable reason why it's justified, and or if a dog sniffs, because that's allowed outside the vehicle, and if the dog alerts, then they're allowed to search, right? That's the short version of searching.
Yeah, that's the short version. They can do that. I mean, the police department has, you know, all night long, all day long, they can go get a search warrant if they need to.
Mm-hmm.
They can hook to the vehicle with a search warrant. So that's something that they can do. But first of all, they're going to ask you, can I have permission to search that vehicle? That's where they're going to start.
And you know, the one thing that a police officer is obligated to tell the truth about is your constitutional rights. And so, you know, even if you ask, you know, do I have to let you search it? The police officer can't pretend you have to, right? Like they
right.
Basically tell you, no, you can, you know, you can deny me. We'll go get a search warrant. We'll bring the dog. You know, we'll do whatever we're going to do. But that's one of the things that police officers are actually obligated to tell the truth about is constitutional rights, right?
Absolutely. And they will. They'll tell you exactly what's going on.
Very good. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. We always appreciate it. A lot of really good information today. And we hope for another Q word week before I talk to you next Thursday. We'll talk to you then, sir.
Okay. Going for the Q.
That's right. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. It is funny. They do not like to say that word because, you know, they're very... I think cops and baseball players are some of the most superstitious people that I know of. And hey, you know, they're the ones whose lives are on the line. So I'm going to allow them whatever odd little foibles of belief that make their life easier. That is, you know, we'll take it. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty are great at this. Now, I always focus on the selling, right? 209 homes sold last year, a lot more than anybody else, any other team of residential real estate here in this area. But the buying side, you know, you want a good realtor with you when you're buying, and especially, man, especially when you're buying for the first time. you know, if you're buying a second home, a vacation rental, you're buying a, you know, a beach house, whatever, of course, right. But when you're buying for the very first time, you don't know anything and it's scary and you've been thinking about this and it's a massive part of your future and your wealth and your income and all of that. And you want to make sure to get it right. You don't really know what questions to ask or anything. Okay. That's when you benefit the most from having a great realtor because you don't know anything. Well, Christina Leavenworth can be there for you. I wish if we could go back in time and buy our first home with somebody like Christina. I mean, it was in St. Louis, not here, so it can't be her anyway. But, man, I just imagine how much easier and simpler and how much better off we would have been. So buying, selling, or just you want to ask questions, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
It's the 26th Annual Crawfish Festival this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Come out and kick off your Saturday morning with the Crawfish 5K at 8, Kids Crawfish Race later that afternoon, and fireworks at 8 on Saturday night. Performing live, we'll have Colleen Sexton, Jared McConnell and the High Aces, Bangarang Peter, Tyler Livingston and the Absolutes, the Oliver Twist Band, and so many other great bands all weekend long. You'll want to stop by and visit all the local artists in between all the fun. Visit PensacolaBeachCrawfishFestival.com for more details.
The Big Bamboo!
Tickets for the third annual Night at the Museum Gala are on sale now for Friday night, May 8th, featuring special guest speaker, Vice Admiral Jeffrey Caesar Cherico. Table sponsorships are $1,400 all in, and individual tickets are $175, but you can save 20% at checkout with the promo code EARLYBIRD. Get tickets and all things Pensacola Navy Days at PensacolaNavyDays.org. Spend an evening of fine dining under the planes and support Pensacola Navy Days. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping. ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Digital marketing can be confusing, and with the security concerns and the internet, it might even be a little bit scary. But at ADX Digital, we use Double Verify. This means we only deliver ads to real people through trusted partners on secure websites and apps. No bots, no scams, no funny business. Actual people inside your target geography moved to action through effective planning and professional execution. That's ADX Digital.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
This is why we're here. Unobtainium. Because this little gray rock sells for $20 million a kilo. That's the only reason.
Diploma 557.
I was wondering, Andrew.
She got the. Anyway, some people say it means other things, but I do not think so, and I choose not to say so.
Delivery.
Delivery, that's right. Okay, now this is something we kind of knew, but it's also a little bit more confirmation. Now, Top Gun 3 is officially in the works.
It is.
And apparently Tom Cruise is going to be in it again. So
well, is he going to be like Top Cruise without him? 80-year-old man or something?
What is the mission going to be?
I don't know. We already got the F-14 out of Iran.
He beat the Russians, not Russians.
Right.
He beat the Iranians, not Iranians. You know, the Chinese?
Oh.
I mean,
look at the story plot.
And is he going to fly an F-35? You know, I don't know.
Or the new F-47?
I'm eager.
Oh, I'm 100%.
I have questions, and I kind of wonder exactly what this is all going to turn out to be. So, yeah, I just have questions. But that's because I'm passionate. I want it to be fantastic, and I will certainly expect it to be. So, if you're in the Coast Guard, one of your jobs that you get to routinely do is you get to steal drugs.
What?
Well, seize. I mean, we don't say steal, but, you know, they've got drugs. They're not supposed to have them. We take them, right? Coast Guard cutter Tampa on Thursday announced that they had brought back a you know, they'd gone fishing for drugs and they'd found a lot of them. 3,825 pounds of cocaine.
Good Lord.
2 tons of cocaine. Now, cocaine is a powder. You know, it comes in, you know, 2-pound bags called kilos, right? I mean, they do the metric. Don't get me started. You know, why is it that only drug dealers are the people who like metric in the United States? Anyway, but, you know, that roughly, that's what we're talking about here. A wow. 1,000 kilo. Think about what, you know, what a kilo bag looks like from TV. I hope not from real life. You know, 1,000 of those worth. And it always cracks me up when, you know, the Coast Guard is giving me market advice on how to price my cocaine. But $28.7 million worth of cocaine. Oh, man, I was way above market. Anyway, enough to say to kill 1.4 million Americans.
Wow.
That is a lot. Now, I think the fentanyl thing has kind of spilled over into other drugs because now we're not measuring it in volume or price, but how many people could you kill with it? Which, again, I'm not sure that's the advice that the Coast Guard should give.